This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. Mexico is one of the most dangerous countries in the world to work as a journalist. Local newspaper reporters covering crime and corruption are routinely threatened, assaulted and murdered with impunity. And we speak to former investigative journalist Roberto Calleja, who covered the Mexican drug war before coming to Malaysia to teach journalism. Welcome to the show, Roberto. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Mia.
That is a huge shift in what you're doing from Mexico to Malaysia. How did you make that, or why did you make that transition?
Well, it was a love story to make it.
There was a woman involved.
Exactly.
Always the case.
My current wife. It's the reason why I'm here now.
Okay, all right. So before coming to Malaysia, to teach, of course, which is what you do now, you had a previous life as an investigative journalist in Mexico, covering the violent world of narcotics trade and drugs cartel.
Yeah.
How did you get involved?
Well, you know, we have the beats, the source of information in Mexico. So when I was assigned to cover the police sector, suddenly I realized that I was good in doing investigation, so I became like a private investigator, something like that.
You were not a trained journalist then?
I had my bachelor's in journalism.
Okay.
I'm a journalist, and I found it very interesting. At that point of time, I was single, so no reason to worry about too much. Therefore, you know, when somebody is young, intrepid, you want to change the world, so you go for everything that is in front of you. So that's how I found it very exciting, the activity of investigative journalism
in Mexico.
In Mexico,
you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up there.
Did the drug cartel and the whole industry sort of upset you in any way while you were growing up? I mean, I'm sure you
definitely
would have witnessed a whole load.
Yes, because when you're grow up in Mexico and you realize the whole structure, how does it work, and how there are different interests, not only at the economical level, but at the international level, political level and everything, and how everything is a very intricate network of interest that came to picture. So everybody were wondering why the police is not doing anything, why the government is not doing anything. But in fact, there are a lot of reasons why that doesn't happen. A lot of interests that sometimes we don't even can see in the near picture. So the damage that these organizations are creating into Mexican society is really deep. Just to give an example, during the presidency of the Felipe Calderón, the previous administration in Mexico, there were more than 80,000 people being killed somehow related to these drug
cartels.
And even though most of them, I should say around 80 to 85% of those people were related to the drug cartels, there were also innocent people that were caught in the crossfire between the police and these drug cartels.
Do you think it's become a socially acceptable phenomenon in Mexico?
I don't think so. But there is a characteristic precisely that I was reading yesterday, if I think so. There was a survey done among the Mexican people. They are more concerned about the drug lords rather than the common thief on the streets. They found more danger coming from the drug lords rather than the common thief on the streets, that those kind of crimes are still happening. But the concern about that you cannot come out in certain cities of the country, you cannot come out after 7 p.m. because you do not know if you're going to be kidnapped or you're going to be caught up in one confrontation between the army, because the army is also patrolling certain streets in certain cities trying to counter this situation. But
Do you see a solution at all? If it's so intertwined and involves so many segments of society, then where do you even start?
Where do we even start? It's precisely, I think, that is the key question in everything, because you have a huge population of youngsters that they don't have an option, and they find easy to join these drug cartels and get paid just to carry this amount of substances from one point to another. So it's easy money because they don't have option. But then when you scale the problem and then you realize and then you wonder how come in the United States they have certain cities or certain states where the consumption of a personal dosis is allowed, but the commercialization or trafficking or harvesting of that particular drug is not even allowed. So where the drug will come to the Americans from the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that I was talking to you that we do not see, and we only see the bad news. Such amount of people has been killed and related to drug lords. There's a root cause for all these situations.
Underhands. There is an underhand.
Exactly.
Were you not concerned for your life? You would have been in constant danger, actually.
Yeah. I mean, when it's a mixed feelings, you know, because you know that you are unveiling things that are gonna help the society to be aware of. But of course, you know that that is something that somebody wanted to keep hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I received, when I was in Mexico, a couple of threats. And it was not nice to have that feeling. As I mentioned to you, luckily enough, when I was doing that, I was still single.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fear that these kind of guys can put into a telephone line is really, really bad. But again, the emotion, the dream of a better society was always in my heart. And it always pushed me to try to find a solution to propose, to bring to the light the wrongdoings of different sides.
And that kept you going?
Yes, definitely.
And how long did you do that for?
I was there doing that for about 5 years, 10 years, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Okay. Do you think you made a contribution to, as far as your investigative journalism work is concerned?
I hope. I hope. I've been in Malaysia for 7 years, and I don't have any touch there. But one thing that I realize is that at least the society is more conscious of the consequences of getting involved with this. There are a lot of other situations that we cannot control, but at least in the circle of my friend, the people that was listening the radio station, I believe that they are aware of the dangers of getting involved with these people.
This awareness, what do you think has brought about the awareness? Is it education? Is it new policies in place? Have policymakers made a difference?
Wow. That is one of the situations that is where to start. The media in Mexico has a very powerful influence.
The media?
The media. I mean, the way that they portray the war against drugs and everything, it's very symptomatic. Depending on the interest of the current media in Mexico, is how much you will know about the drug situation. And you always know about the drug situation, but not about the drug addicts and the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm.
You only will listen how many people were killed. This confrontation left so many people dying or something like that. I think that the change came more in the society itself. Not by education, not by really a political system that changed that, but yes, there were some initiatives that were taken in place to enforce the war against drug dealers.
Okay, so it was just self-awareness.
Exactly.
Among some people.
Basically.
Because they were affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
In some way or another. Like HIV is in South Africa.
Exactly.
It's pretty much the same thing. You either know a cousin or an uncle or someone who's been killed or affected by the whole trade, isn't it?
Exactly.
So that's really good news. But when you talk about the media, I mean, you're an investigative journalist. How does that compare to Malaysia? I mean, you've been here 7 years.
Yes.
You're teaching at a private university. You know, you're head of mass communications. Is there a difference with the media and how it operates?
Well, definitely. Yes, there is a difference because the political system and the culture of the countries is completely different. You were talking about policies that were in place in Mexico, for example. If you do investigative journalism, you can ask or request information, and certain reports you can request them from the different entities per se. While here in Malaysia, you have the Official Secrets Act, that mm-hmm. is totally the opposite. Things you cannot request, some other things you can request, but if they classify them as sensitive, it's going to be very difficult for you to hire, to get them. So in Mexico, due to the fact that the level of corruption is quite high, you can easily get contacts here and there in different corporations, mm-hmm. something that I learned already by listening and reading the newspaper and everything, that Malaysia is quite difficult, at least. You also must remember that at a certain point, I'm just able to understand whatever is in English, mm-hmm. and I do not know about Bahasa or something, so I cannot go so deep. But as for what I can read and I can see, there are more investigative journalism work done in Mexico than in Malaysia, definitely.
But when you talk about being a reporter or a journalist in Mexico, you've got dangers, you've got low wages against you. Why would anyone want to be a reporter? You know, I'm thinking to myself, risk your life?
I think that is that dream of a better society. I think that all human beings should try to pursue that dream to have a better society. And this internal emotion to try to change the world, to try to change the things, to try to find a very way of living by influencing policymakers, by influencing the society at large, by influencing your close circle of friends or family members, that they at the same time can replicate that message. It's not that we are the possessors, the owners of the truth and the holy truth. It's just that we know that there are things that can be improved and that definitely can be get better. And I think that more than the wages, the salary or...
It's a passion behind it.
It's a passion.
The passion to want to make a difference.
To be a journalist in Mexico is definitely something about passion.
So just to go back, are you saying then that you had more editorial freedom? You perceive that mm-hmm. there is more editorial freedom in Mexico as opposed to Malaysia?
Yes. But you also must remember that the companies related to media, they also have their interest.
In Mexico.
Mm-hmm. In Mexico, definitely they have economic interest. So, as well as political interest. So, whenever we are doing an investigative journalism, we are always in contact with our bosses to tell them what are we doing, what are we finding, because you will never know how the intricate network of society in Mexico will guide you to. Mm-hmm. And if somehow or another you find out that there are something that could not be told, you discuss with your boss earlier. I have some friends that they have quitted their jobs from different or a particular newspaper or radio station or TV station because they were not allowed to publish their job there because somehow or another it will affect the same company. And you can see the difference between what you can find published in newspaper and what you can see on TV, sorry, what you can watch on TV or mm-hmm. listen on radio. Sometimes it's very different because the owners of the newspapers are different from the owners of the TV station.
That's right.
And sometimes the newspapers are complaining about this laws that are affecting the newspaper but not affecting the TV stations.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the TV stations complain about the radio host that is delivering some information that will compromise the TV station income.
Which brings me to the fact that you have collaborated with Mexican radio stations.
Yes.
We'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question for Roberto Calleja, send it through. He's a communications expert and former investigative journalist in Mexico. He's been living here in Malaysia for 7 years. 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasudhi. Roberto Calleja in the studio with me. He's a communications expert and former investigative journalist from Mexico, living here now 7 years in Malaysia. You know, Roberto, you also worked with radio stations in Mexico. How did you use it as a tool to help with the whole drug war in Mexico?
Yeah, well, precisely doing my reports and doing that investigative journalism, I uncover certain things, and the radio stations that I've been working for so far, and are some of the largest, the last two that I've been working are the largest one that carry a lot of audience, and that by itself. So wherever I broadcast for them, immediately has a large audience, and the changes, the comments that you receive are always encouraging.
Very positive.
Very positive.
Do you think investigative journalism is a dying trade?
Wow, no.
Not at all?
Not at all, because, okay, let's put it in this way. Everybody always will have something that they don't want to be on bill. And when you talk about politics, and when you talk about wrongdoings, today, the release of the latest Transparency International Corruption Index was released. And that is telling you that there are a lot of countries in the world that corruption means somebody wants to hide something. Therefore, at least from that side, there's one aspect of the social life that journalists are able to unveil. And when it comes to different topics, you will have always something that somebody always have something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And the journalist, if that hidden subject is or could affect the society in any manner, that is the job of the journalist to unveil it.
You know, I just did a show with a professor in National University of Singapore on the sociology of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking him whether it was cultural, whether it was, you know, What is it? Is it our political system? But if you talk about corruption, Mexico sounds it's way below Malaysia.
52 places below
Malaysia. We were 51, so there are 103.
That's 100, right.
And Mexico is 103. But what do you think has brought about that high level of corruption in Mexico?
Wow. That is one of the issues. First of all, education. Education, but not knowledge. Meaning, the change in education that the society has and is receiving in at home is different from the knowledge. Education is given at home, not in the school. So, the situations that Mexico have been living for a long, long, long time, I should say from 70s or 60s, that crisis, economical crisis, have deteriorated the economical position of the families.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider the family is the center, the core of any society, and when you your both parents have been forced to come out to work because with the wage of the salary of one of them is not enough to support the whole family, and the kids are left and at home with somebody else or maybe being educated by the television or by the radio or by the video games or by the influence of other kids that are maybe some facing some other difficulties. And when that range of people, it's growing, I'm talking about those who are living below the poverty line. Mexico has about 50 million people living below the poverty line. Then you understand that it's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that definitely the values to fight corruption are not there, are not embedded in the kid to say, stop, don't cross the red line, the red light. Don't do this because it's wrong. Not because somebody is going to punish you. It's just because it's wrong. That kind of education, unfortunately, in my country, in Mexico, is lacking. There are I'm talking about majority. Of course, there are exceptions. Yeah. There are, as usual. But if we are talking about the majority of the population, that is one of the main causes.
So are you saying corruption has become a culture like?
Unfortunately, yes.
Or socially acceptable?
Socially acceptable, yes. There's nothing that will highlight among peers in the society to tell you that guy is doing something wrong and you will be ashamed of doing it, like here in Malaysia.
Nobody has that conscience.
Not yet. It's actually in the opposite. We have a saying in Mexico that is something like, if you don't cheat, don't move forward.
Mm.
And everybody could say that in Mexico, and it's perfectly acceptable. Now with the new generation of kids, they are trying to change, but it's so widespread in the society that, corruption is widely accepted.
So are you saying that it is only going to get worse?
I always have hope, you know. Call me, John Lennon said, call me, I'm a dreamer. But I believe that we already touched the bottom of the situation in Mexico with these 80,000 people being killed for drug lords. And I think that will be a red light to tell us, back up, and you must change.
And the whole drug world is interconnected with corruption.
Definitely.
In a huge way, massive way. Chow from KL is asking, I mean, you were, of course, threatened. You received death threats and all of that as an investigative journalist in Mexico. I mean, how did you protect yourself?
Well, that is something that, forgive me, Malaysians, but let me what I want to say. I learned how to be alert, over-alerted, and sometimes when I came to Malaysia and keep looking to my back.
It borders on paranoia.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I developed gastric for all the nervous, the stress, for
anxiety.
All the stress, anxiety and everything. But, that was the only. And despite that, I was kidnapped for a few hours one day. So, yeah.
What do you think we take for granted here in Malaysia?
Wow. To be honest, I know that there has been a lot of lately wave of crimes, but trust me, there's nothing compared to the level of violence that we have in Mexico. The fact that you can steal, can come out from your house, your apartment, walk in the middle of the street at 10 p.m. at night, 11 p.m. at night, go out, take the SS2, you go to SS2 all 2, 3 a.m. in the morning with a lot of people, and you can take your supper, have a chat in the middle of the street without any problem. In Mexico, unfortunately, there are not too many of these in very located cities, that I must say. But unfortunately, it's a widespread situation, paranoia as well. So most of the kids, 7 p.m., they are not allowed to come out from their houses because there are risk of being kidnapped. There are risk of being caught in crossfire. There are risk of being robbed. As simple as that.
So safety is something.
Yes, safety.
Well, we can always improve on crime. But in comparison, yes, we're doing better. Which other areas do we take for granted?
When you compare with Mexico, it's basically it's more on the side of safety. It's something that it is pushing me to remain in Malaysia for long because it's really valuable. And the other thing is, call me an old timer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But or maybe because now I'm a father, I will start talking like, oh, this generation is crazy. But the amount of the social responsibility that you have for each other to look after the good doings of the rest of the population, because it's going to benefit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, we are very selfish. So I can witness a wrongdoing of my neighbor or something that is happening to my neighbor, and I will not going to get involved.
But then you might have a good reason for that.
Precisely. That's what I'm talking, that you are taking for granted. Because we cannot be with our neighbor or look after my neighbor because
right.
There's something that could happen to me as well. Here, you still have that chance to have this contact with your neighbors. You still have the chance to mingle around with them. Something that in Mexico, slowly but steady we are losing. The gardens that you have for the kids to play here in Malaysia are still full in the afternoons, in the evening. You still have kids playing around. In Mexico, there's not that one. There are some cities, only cities that you can stay there and you will find them. But most of the gardens are pretty much empty.
Now you have decided to go into the academic line. You yes. teach journalism. I mean, yes. that is cannot be as rewarding as being a journalist. Roberta, I'm sure. this is you with a family now deciding to, you know, cannot quite lead the life that you lived before.
Let me tell you something, yeah. And it's something that, again, perhaps is a dream. But I do believe that educating the kids at the university that I am in, it's a good and a very rewarding job. Because now it's not going to be me, and it's not going to be only one who will try to change the world. But I'm stealing, or I think that I'm stealing that this passion that I have into these kids. I'm teaching them how to be professionals, how to be ethical, how to go beyond, to protect the society, to find the wrongdoings, how to do right for the well-being of the society, and mm-hmm. how can they, through their pieces of news, articles, investigative journalism, etc., they can create a better society and a better government and a better Malaysia mm-hmm. through these activities. I'm really, really. Sometimes, yeah, I need
you
to recognize.
Miss.
Sometimes I miss.
You
sometimes
do miss
I miss.
Being.
Especially when I'm in front of a microphone again.
You know, living on the edge, having that adrenaline rush, you know.
Exactly.
I'm sure you miss all of that. So, I mean, would you have a message for us on reporting on the Mexican drug war or, you know, anything at all, Roberto? I mean, we just wanted to hear your story and what it's been like, you know. But would you have a message for us?
Seriously, appreciate what you have. Coming from a country like Mexico has a lot of good things, a lot of places that you are still safe and everything, but definitely you have a lot of things that you must appreciate. Improve, like anyone in this world can improve. We are not perfect. Mm-hmm. We are humans that way. We can improve in everything, but definitely keep searching for a better society.
Thank you very much for joining me. Roberto Calleja, head of mass communications in International University, also former investigative journalist in Mexico, on reporting on the Mexican drug war on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.